Where did you grow up?
West Seattle.
White Center.
I grew up in Berrien, Washington.
In Seattle, in the Renton area. My current neighborhood is White Center and technically West Seattle. I don't like it.
Berrien. Bangladesh.
South Park.
I grew up in White Center, in Berrien.
In Vietnam.
I grew up in Angleton, Texas. Well, I actually don't have a neighborhood. I just be everywhere in Seattle. It's like a fast life, I guess, I would say. Like, I'm really living a city life. Like, in Angleton, I was living, like, a little urban life. And, like, here, I'm, like, house to house, apartment to apartment, hotel to hotel. So it's, like, teaching me, like, a valuable lesson, I guess.
Hello, radioactive listeners. My name is Mamansa Dogra, and I'll be your host for this month's podcast. On this podcast, we'll be discussing the topic of neighborhoods, the communities we come from. You just listened to Radioactive's Lola Garcia, who asked her friends where they come from. Now you'll hear them tell her what they love and what they'd change about their neighborhoods.
My favorite thing about my current neighborhood, community.
My favorite thing is that I can't tell the difference between fireworks and gunshots sometimes. So it's a fun guessing game.
My favorite thing about my neighborhood is that everything is just so close and everyone is just like a very tight-knit community, that I have so much stuff to do in my neighborhood.
The diversity is definitely the best part about my neighborhood.
I live with all my relatives.
The people, our neighbors usually have each other's back.
One thing I would change is get all the crackheads out and clean up a little bit.
For it to be prettier and bigger?
Yes, I would stop the violence and the drug use, stop the drugs and get more parks for the kids and better educations for the children.
The violence and like the drugs that you see in everyday life, like you can't go around a gas station without seeing a drug deal.
I'd say more public transports.
All them thieves out there, because they done stole my stuff a couple of times. I'm not even joking.
I would change to, like, how small it is and, like, there's not very diversity. Like, there's not a lot of other people like there is here in Seattle. It's, like, just white kids, basically.
The overall appearance, it's very desolate. And it's kind of despairing, but, you know, I guess I can't change anything about it.
Our next piece will give us a close-up of a community. Radioactive's Nina Tran lives in Beacon Hill, deep in Seattle's south end. On a nice afternoon, she rides her bike and describes what she sees.
I'm on Beacon and Thistle. Today is Tuesday, the 16th, I think. And there's a nice public bench. We see a water bottle is flattened out, gum wrapper, lots of cigarette butts, some more plastic, an empty carton of marble cigarettes. Let's keep riding on, see what else we can find. Styrofoam container. I'm just headed north on Beacon Ave right now. See, we see empty water bottle. We'll make our second stop right here. Alright, this is some sort of large metal object. It's probably about, yeah, probably like 5 feet in length, actually. I'm not sure what this is. It's long. It's metal. It's got these long candle holders, I don't know, on the end of it. It's brown. I'm not really sure what it is, but I am snapping a photo. I'll put my foot for size reference. And then within perhaps 15 feet of that weird metal brown thing looks to be a hunk of carpet. It's like a square. Maybe, actually, it might be a corkboard. See a chip bag. And then we've got, it's just a piece of cardboard. Never mind. Now I'm at crosswalk for Rose and Beacon, so that's just what I saw on that block. But I'm gonna keep going and see what else I can find. And this is at public bench number 2, which is, I guess, a block away. There is an empty tree, what is a black leather glove sitting on top of one of these branches. I'm not sure if that's art or if that's trash, but it is quite funny to stumble upon. Graffiti on the bench, of course. And then aside from that glove on the tree, there's just a lot of cigarette butts at this one. So 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, 24, 26 cigarette butts at this bench. Okay, we're at block of Kenyon and Beacon. Or I guess Chicago and Beacon as well. Ooh. And there's a store here, Aloha Market. So we've got a children's car seat next to this tree. We got a lot of plastic, some container tops, wrappers of things. We've got a plastic bag. We've got some foil, a McDonald's ketchup packet, empty cigarette carton, some plastic wipes, another plastic container. And then when we get to Chicago and Beacon, we have our first congregation of crap. Bundles of carpet, lots of empty bottles, some bags of trash, and then a sofa with 2 rugs, pile of nylon, I think, on it. And then we have a vacuum, Contigo. I don't know what this is. It's a black bin. It's quite big. It's full of, I don't know, what looks like car rubber. 4 or 5 feet long black plastic bin. I'm not sure what all this stuff is doing here or why it's been designated as a place to put trash, but it's here.
I personally lay claim to 2 neighborhoods. I live in Bellevue, and in my neighborhood, we usually keep to ourselves. Sure, we occasionally have get-togethers, but we all move in different social circles. The neighborhood my dad is from in India is totally different. Everyone in our neighborhood is somehow related to me, and whenever I go back to visit, I can literally step into any house at any time. I only visit every couple of years, but each time I go back, I instantly feel that this is home and that I belong here. Radioactive's Paul Kiefer ponders that feeling of belonging in a neighborhood. He leads fellow Radioactive advanced producer Hassan Abdi Nur on a tour of the 2 neighborhoods that are nearest and dearest to his heart.
As I prepare to leave for college, I'm worried that I'm going to leave Seattle without ever having found a place to call home. I have a house, and that is home, and I have friends, and I suppose they're part of home too, but my neighborhood, Queen Anne, is familiar, certainly, and I have plenty of fond memories from my childhood, but it is not, however, my home. I am merely a resident. I took my fellow Radioactivian Hassan Abdi Nur on a tour of Queen Anne to explain to him my relationship with that neighborhood.
About your neighborhood, man. Let's do this tour, you know? We got this, you know? Like, this place looks so nice. I see that you got a tree right there.
One thing you gotta learn about this neighborhood is that no one's that enthusiastic.
Really? Wow.
Hey, there's no shouting here. Like, you know, it's just,
shouting?
No shouting, yeah. It's just quiet.
Yeah, it's very quiet. I can hear the birds.
I grew up here. I've been here 18 years. It's beautiful. This view is beautiful. I can see Puget Sound. I can see the Olympic Mountains. I sled down this hill, crashed into those trees. There are raccoons. There's a family of raccoons that lives in that alley who I know. Thing is, I don't actually know the last names of any of my neighbors. I went to my neighbor's house right there for the first time, like, this past week, because my washing machine broke, and they were gracious enough to let us use their washing machine. But I don't actually know their last name, which is a shame. I don't know this group of neighbors' last name.
I'm like 2 feet away. Like, not even 2 feet. Like,
yeah, like, it's not an interactive place. It's just a bunch of people living in houses who happen to be in the same geographic area. It's not much, you know.
Is there, like, no connection at all?
Yeah, it's not much of a community. It's pretty, though. It's pretty. Like, I don't know anyone who's like, man, I'm from Queen Anne, and I'm proud to be from Queen Anne. It's just a place where you live.
That's something that's rare, never happens.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
It's like in the middle, like after the afternoon, like I would assume at this time people would be coming back to their houses, or like I would see some movement at least, like people walking. I'm not seeing any of that. It's like just nothing.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be alone. I'll say that.
What's missing? What's not there?
There are a few things. Like, I mean, one, I wish I had a mosque. Like, the way that my mom's got connected to this neighborhood is, you know, she has a church. So that's provided her, like, an inroad to Queen Anne. The other thing I'd like, you know, I'd like to, when I see someone on the street, I'd like it if I could say hi.
Do people even come out of this place? I mean, it looks all pretty and all. Like, all these houses are well-maintained and, like, everything just looks so nice, but like, why? I don't know. I don't even see any. Like, I see one guy, like, in the distance. Just look at that sunset, man. It's just
like, yeah, it's beautiful, but yeah, it just doesn't feel like home. Just doesn't feel like home. While I might not feel at home in Queen Anne, there is a neighborhood in Seattle to which I'm extremely attached and where I feel very comfortable. In that neighborhood, however, I'm an outsider. That neighborhood is Seattle's International District. I took us on a tour of the ID on a Wednesday night.
ID! Damn. We're in the ID!
That's true, we are in the ID.
We are in the ID!
So, Hassan, welcome.
We are here, we have arrived. Welcome to the... No, I'm not going to say that. Okay.
I'll tell... I can do
we
this
We have
part.
Arrived.
Yes.
We are in the ID.
So this is the International District.
Sure.
Yeah, no worries. So I've been coming to the ID since I was like, as soon as I could get on a bus on my own, I've been coming to this neighborhood. The first time I ever went to the ID, I was probably 6, and a family friend of ours took us to this restaurant right here. And since then, I've spent a lot of time wandering these streets. Not a very big area, actually, but it's an old area. It's an area with a lot of history, and unlike Queen Anne, it's an area where people seem to know each other. It has lots of community events, which I respect and I love. It has an identity. You can feel it, you know, look around.
Oh, yeah, so people know each other here.
Whenever I come here, I don't know anyone. Like, I leave Queen Anne where I don't know anyone, where I feel like there's some secret key to the neighborhood and otherwise it's just all locked off. But here, I can feel that there's something going on in the neighborhood. It's super apparent. But I know that I'm never going to be a part of this. So as much as I love it here, you know, I'm still an alien. So even if I'm not a part of that, just being in a place that has an identity, being in a place where people are bustling about, some people know each other, there are people talking on the street up here, they sometimes... old men when it's warm outside, like, seeing that is comforting, even if I'm not a part of it. I used to go to this store down Canton Alley called Sun May Company. It was like a variety store, and this is where I'd come to buy Christmas presents for my parents. And the way I learned about the store was because Donnie Chin would set up like little stand outside for all the events put on by the Wing Luke Museum in this alley. The thing that really gets me is that I'm not at home in Queen Anne, but I'm also not at home here. Like this, I'm not from here. I only started coming here when I was like in middle school. I don't know anyone. I don't recognize anyone's faces. I don't belong here. Like, this is clearly not a place that I can claim as my own. There's something beautiful about this neighborhood, but that beautiful thing is tied into something that I'm fundamentally not, right? This neighborhood is tied into the history of racism that forced the creation of a Chinese-American neighborhood and a Japanese-American neighborhood. And, you know, I'm a white guy. We are the ones who forced people into that predicament in the first place. We're under the highway right now. That's why it's so loud. The other thing about the International District that's close to me, my dad now works here. My dad works for Sound Transit, so he's in the ID all the time. You know, my dad's my best friend. I love my dad so much. And the place where I come to see him, the place where I come to spend time with him, get lunch with him, is the International District. So while I might not know people here, I still have that connection. My dad and I bond in this neighborhood, so that ends up having a particular importance to me. My friend Woji, who has since moved to Memphis, and I went out and bought expired lychees, and we had a lychee fight, threw lychees at each other in the street. I might not be a part of the community, but I got memories here. And whenever I come home to Seattle from traveling, I don't feel like I've come back to Seattle until I've come here.
As I prepare to move away for college, I'm coming to terms with the possibility that I may never find a neighborhood to call home in Seattle. I've come to know and love people from across the city, and I have roots here, deep roots. But I actually regret never finding a neighborhood to be my home. A neighborhood can be a place that gives a person comfort. A neighborhood can give a sense of belonging. Those are things that I want, and I hope and pray that wherever I land after college, I can find that. For Radioactive, I'm Paul Kiefer.
Neighborhoods are the first things that shape our perspectives and our personalities. They become a part of us, an identity we carry even if we leave. Radioactive's Lola Garcia asked her friends how their neighborhoods have shaped their identities.
How do you think growing up where you did affected who you are today?
Growing up in Angleton, I guess it taught me that Black people are treated differently than others. Like, we don't, in Angleton, Black kids are like, what is the word? They're ridiculed, I guess, by the white kids. So,
well, my area is very diverse. So I think that affected me a lot because I look at life as more of like an open plane instead of something that's like taken for granted.
Made me a good man. I realized the difference between good people and bad people.
It gave me a thick skin to block out all the bad things that happen in the world.
It's definitely made me look at things in different perspectives. Instead of just looking at it from my point of view, I look at it from multiple points of view.
It helps me to be more adjusting.
It made me hard. I always got to be on the lookout, you know what I'm saying?
I think growing up where I did made me stronger individually.
And that is our show for this month. Thank you to Paul, Lola, Nina, and Hassan for contributing to this show. A huge thank you to our editor and mentor, Jenny Asarno. Be sure to check out Radioactive on Facebook and Twitter, and see you next month.